and no more than holes dug in the sand. This one looked more like a village well, but there was no village here, and I thought I was dreaming. "It's strange," I said to the little prince. "Everything is ready, the pulley, the bucket, and the rope." He laughed, grasped the rope, and set the pulley working. And the pulley groaned the way an old weather vane groans when the wind has been asleep a long time.
"Hear that?" said the little prince. "We've awakened this well, and it's singing."
I didn't want him to tire himself out. "Let me do that," I said to him. "It's too heavy for you." Slowly I hoisted the bucket to the edge of the well. I set it down with great care. The song of the pulley continued in my ears, and I saw the sun glisten on the still trembling water.
"I'm thirsty for that water," said the little prince. "Let me drink some."
And I understood what he'd been looking for. I raised the bucket to his lips. He drank, eyes closed. It was as sweet as a feast. That water was more than merely a drink. It was born of our walk beneath the stars, of the song of the pulley, of the effort of my arms. It did the heart good, like a present. When I was a little boy, the Christmas tree lights, the music of midnight mass, the tenderness of people's smiles, made up in the same way the whole radiance of the Christmas present I received.
"People where you live," the little prince said, "grow 5,000 roses in one garden, yet they don't find what they're looking for."
"They don't find it," I answered.
"And yet what they're looking for could be found in a single rose, or a little water."
"Of course," I answered. And the little prince added,
"But eyes are blind. You have to look with the heart."
I had drunk the water. I could breathe easy now. The sand at daybreak is honey-coloured, and that colour was making me happy too. Why then did I also feel so sad?
"You must keep your promise," said the little prince,
sitting up again beside me. "What promise?"
"You know, a muzzle for my sheep. I'm responsible for this flower."
I took my drawings out of my pocket. The little prince glanced at them and laughed as he said,
"Your baobabs look more like cabbages."
"Oh." I had been so proud of the baobabs.
"Your fox, his ears, look more like horns. And they're too long."
And he laughed again. "You're being unfair, my little prince," I said. "I never knew how to draw anything but boas from the inside and boas from the outside."
"Oh, that'll be all right," he said. "Children understand."
So then I drew a muzzle. And with a heavy heart, I handed it to him. "You've made plans I don't know about." But he didn't answer. He said,
"You know, I fall to earth. Tomorrow will be the first anniversary."
Then, after a silence, he continued,
"I landed very near here."
And he blushed. And once again, without understanding why, I felt a strange grief. However, a question occurred to me. "Then it wasn't by accident that on the morning I met you 8 days ago, you were walking that way, all alone, 1,000 miles from any inhabited region. Were you returning to the place where you fell to earth?" The little prince blushed again. And I added hesitantly, "Perhaps on account of the anniversary?" The little prince blushed once more. He never answered questions. But when someone blushes, doesn't that mean yes? "Ah," I said to the little prince. I'm afraid.
But he answered, You must get to work now. You must get back to your engine. I'll wait here. Come back tomorrow night.
But I wasn't reassured. I remembered the fox. You risk tears if you let yourself be tamed.
Chapter 26. Beside the well, there was a ruin, an old stone wall. When I came back from my work the next evening, I caught sight of my little prince from a distance. He was sitting on top of the wall, legs dangling, and I heard him talking.
Don't you remember? He was saying. This isn't exactly the place.
Another voice must have answered him then, for he replied,
Oh yes, it's the right day, but this isn't the place.
I continued walking toward the wall. I still could neither see nor hear anyone, yet the prince answered again.
Of course. You'll see where my tracks begin on the sand. Just wait for me there. I'll be there tonight.
I was 20 yards from the wall and still saw no one. Then the little prince said, after a silence,
Your poison is good? You're sure it won't make me suffer long?
I stopped short, my heart pounding, but I still didn't understand.
Now go away, the little prince said. I want to get down from here.
Then I looked down toward the foot of the wall and gave a great start. There, coiled in front of the little prince, was one of those yellow snakes that can kill you in 30 seconds. As I dug into my pocket for my revolver, I stepped back. But at the noise I made, the snake flowed over the sand like a trickling fountain, and, without even hurrying, slipped away between the stones with a faint metallic sound. I reached the wall just in time to catch my little prince in my arms, his face white as snow. What's going on here? You're talking to snakes now? I had loosened the yellow scarf he always wore. I had moistened his temples and made him drink some water. And now I didn't dare ask him anything more. He gazed at me with a serious expression and put his arms round my neck. I felt his heart beating like a dying bird's when it's been shot. He said to me,
I'm glad you found what